Acts chapter 16 today is where I'll be preaching from, Acts chapter number 16. I do thank Pastor Mix for this opportunity to come to say thank you and to update you on the work, but also to bring God's Word. And the text of Scripture today is Acts chapter number 16, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're humbled today to bow into your very presence, to stand behind your sacred desk, to preach your sacred word. I thank you for each man, woman, and child that's represented here today. And I thank you, Father, they've come hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And I pray today, God, that you would meet each need here today. For the one that's in need of salvation, I pray today might be that day where they trust Christ as personal Lord and Savior. I pray for your people today, God, that they'll be strengthened today through the preaching of your word, that they'll draw closer to you. And most of all, I pray they'll say when they leave here, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, I pray most of all, that when they leave here today, they will say it's been good to be in the presence of God. Bless your word. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. I've just entitled the message today, "A Vision for Missions." And of course, so thankful to be here with you today as we're preaching and teaching on missions. And you guys are observing Missions Month at our Florida church plant. We're observing the same today. And I brought your attention to a passage of scripture that is very powerful. The book of Acts is a very powerful time for the New Testament church that is going forward. The gospel is being preached. Villages are being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Towns and areas are the gospel spreading at a record pace as the Apostle Paul and the followers of Christ are being sent out to preach the gospel. As we look at this particular passage of scripture, I see the great missionary, the Apostle Paul. And by the way, we've studied his methodology and his methods of spreading the gospel. We've patterned our ministry very much after that. And I will tell you this about missions. You cannot go wrong to pattern your life and your ministry after the word of God. Can I get an amen? You will never go wrong. And so we look at this passage of scripture and we see some insights that we can learn into church planning and mission work. We see, first of all, by way of introduction, that sometimes God blocks specific areas until His time. Specifically, we see that He was forbidden to go to here or there, and we've experienced that in our personal life. As God called us to Africa, we knew God wanted us to work with the Turkana tribe in the northwest corner of Kenya. And we went there for 6 months, but we saw that things just weren't coming together. We just sensed that it was not the will of God for us to be there. And so in the meantime, God led us to a mountain called Mount Elgon, which is on the Kenya-Uganda border. And it would be that place that we would find the fruit of the ministry. We found a tribe that had been in turmoil and where there was 1,200 that were slaughtered through tribal clashes. And so God had assuredly sent us there for such a time as this, where people's hearts were open and ready to have the good news of the gospel, to have the hope of heaven preached and the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is this. Sometimes God blocks areas that we think are His will, but where He blocks, listen to me, hear me and hear me well, He opens up another avenue for the preaching of the gospel. And so sometimes He blocks. Also, God reveals and opens the eyes of the missionary and the hearts to those in need. As you see, the Macedonian call was very famous, and you've read it probably and heard it time and time again in the Word of God. But you ought to understand this was a call out to a man of God named the Apostle Paul, the great missionary. And sometimes God reveals it to a specific person where to go and where to preach. And I've already kind of touched on that by way of introduction, that God will lead you. And let me tell you this, that your personal life, God will lead you if you'll depend on Him. We're to ask, to seek, and to knock. And so if you need direction in your life, we serve a personal God, and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is able to direct us, my friend. He'll put in your heart what He wants you to do. So look for the will of God, seek the will of God, and find the will of God for your life. And then we see that God confirms His calling on our lives. So missions and church planting is what we're preaching about this morning. I want to look at, first of all, the mission, the vision here that he's seen. Now, Paul saw something that nobody else saw. And he saw a man that was crying out for help. And so God showed him that through a vision. Now, I'm no expert in vision. We'll leave Pastor Mix for that. He's a we'll follow up on any thing you need to know about visions. But what we do know, in the Old Testament, God spoke to people through visions. And even here at the beginning of the New Testament, what we call the apostolic age, God used visions to talk to people. Now, He has never given me a vision, but I will tell you, my friend, that He has spoken to me in a clear, small voice. Through His Holy Spirit, He's let known the direction that He's wanted us to go for our life and where to preach the gospel and where to go. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so I've outlined three things in my first point when we're talking about vision. First of all, we need to have a good vision of our Father. We need to have a good vision of our Savior. We need to have a good vision of the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And that's found in the Word of God. If you need spiritual vision today, can I help you with vision? Listen, if you need spiritual vision today, get in the Word of God. God's able to direct you, and He's able to teach you. He's able to lead you through His Holy Word. But we also must have a good vision of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we're talking about missions, missions is all about love, my friend. God's love for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's important that you and I have a good vision of a place called heaven that is prepared for those who are saved by His grace. It's important that we have a good vision of the gospel, that there is, I know it sounds like a narrow way. It's not my way. It's not your way. It's God's way. There is but one way to heaven. There is but one mediator between God and man. And there is but one Lord, and that is Christ Jesus. So understand this, that we must have a good vision of the gospel. And when then finally, we're talking about vision. I think it's important to have a good vision that there is a literal hell. I know it's not popular preaching in this day and age in 2017, but my friend, we definitely tell people, whether it be in a village in Africa, that there is a heaven that they can go to, that they can have their name written in the book of life. If they trust Jesus Christ as Lord and believe with all thine heart and confess Him as Lord of their lives, hey, they can have a home in heaven. Can I get an amen? But conversely, we must not overlook the fact that there is a hell, a place of reality that is reserved for the devil and his angels. And so, listen, Paul says, listen, I'm not writing to shame you, but I am writing to warn you. And it's important that God's people have a burden for those that are lost. Because I want to tell you, my friend, it doesn't matter how good of a person they are. It doesn't matter how much they give, my friend. Without Christ, they will die and be separated from God in a place called the lake of fire. That is a fact of the reality from the Word of God. So we're talking about vision. Helen Keller had a vision and was asked about her lack of vision when she lost at 19 months old. The reporter said, is there anything worse than being blind? And she replied, it's far worse to have sight and no vision. Now, I want to tell you, I'm thankful that you're in a church today that has a vision. I'm thankful that you are led by a pastor that has a vision of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it be, hey, the Czech Republic or Uganda or the Philippines or the Florida plant. I'm thankful that you guys have a good vision and you have understanding that it's important for us to carry the gospel until Christ returns. And so, number one, there's that vision. I thank God that He's given us vision. Number two, Missions involves a venture. Verse number 11, if you'll look back to your scriptures real quick. You see, after Paul got the vision from God, and he saw this man of Macedonia crying out for help, and let me just make a note right here that there are people that are crying out for help today. I really, my heart goes out to our missionary in Czechoslovakia because the population in the atheist base is not the same. Kenyans and Africans are open to the gospel today like no other country, but here we've got a situation where people are not open. And I think it's important for us to see that while they may be saying there is no God, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And in reality, they're really crying out for help like this man from Macedonia. So the venture begins with the loosing. They turned loose from Troas, Paul says. That was literally they got into a ship and turned loose. And I want to share with you just the missionary experience, and I'll try to be concise and brief in my message this morning. But there are some things that if we're going to do mission work as a church, and if we're going to be do mission work as missionaries sent out to abroad, there's some things that I've noted today that I want to share with you that we have to turn loose of. Well, number one, for the foreign missionary, we've had to turn loose of our country. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here in Virginia today, and we'll go to the Capitol tomorrow. And we brought our grandson to teach him some of the American Christian heritage that we have seen throughout our nation's capital. But you know, when we went to Kenya, you have to turn loose of your country. And that's not an easy thing to do, to go learn a new language and learn a new culture and leave the things that are familiar. So pray for your missionaries, because if they're traveling abroad, they have turned loose of their nation, their country. They also turn loose of their culture. And I will say this, that our culture has something left to be desired today, but it's still our American culture. We've turned loose of our finances, and I will park here just for a minute. When we left for the mission field, we were assuredly gathered, as Paul said, that was the will of God. And Terry and I prayed about it, and we sold our house, our business, everything that we had, and we just knew that whatever we needed, God would provide. And I want to tell you, that's a pretty awesome place to be sometimes in your life. We as Americans are very well taken care of. God has blessed our nation. But from time to time, it will do you some good to just depend wholeheartedly on God and say, if God doesn't provide it, we're not going to make it. And it's awesome to know that God is with us and His grace is upon us. And so financially, we have depended on God. And part of what's been accomplished has just been truly by the grace of God. We built 16 sanctuaries in the year 2014 when Terry got sick. We built 5 sanctuaries in 1 year. I look at that and I often ask myself, who does that? And I'll tell you who does that. God does that. That's the kind of work that God does. He does amazing things and He can provide for you. So we've had to let loose of our finances and depend on God. We've had to let loose of some good friends along the way. And this final point I hope God speaks to your heart through is there was a time where we had to let go of our family. Let me explain this. We've been married 36 years, and we have 7 grandkids. This is our oldest grandkid, right? Child here, Chucky. And in 2006, when we were closing up our home, we knew God wanted us to go to the mission field, and we said, God, we're all in. Whatever, you know, we sing that song, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Listen, that was one of those points in our life. We said, hey, all to Jesus I surrender. And we were packing up and we had sold our home, sold our business. And we were just saying, Lord, we're just going to go by faith and we're going to depend on you. And as we were packing up, you know, you get to the end of the stuff. And at the end of the stuff is kind of the leftover things of the house. And so a lot of that stuff just has to be thrown away. You give as much away as you can. You sell as much. And I went to the dumpster with the last load. It was the very last load. And as I took that box, I threw it in a dumpster. I heard a voice come out of the dumpster. And the voice said, goodbye, goodbye. And I put my head and I looked at it because I didn't know what, and there was an Elmo doll in there that was, I guess, motion sensitive. And when I threw that box in there, that doll started saying, goodbye, goodbye. And you know, for a minute it didn't faze me till I realized whose doll that was. And I was reminded at the edge of that dumpster with tears running down my face that belonged to one of my grandchildren who we were leaving, saying goodbye. And so there are some things that missionaries have to say goodbye to, and we do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord as we're supposed to do. But it's also a principle of Christianity that Jesus said, "Whosoever shall lose his life for my name's sake and the gospel's sake shall save it as well." I'm reminded of James Calvert, a missionary to the Fiji Islands. As he was leaving to go, they were leaving the ship to go minister and preach the gospel to cannibals on the islands of Fiji. The ship captain begged James Calvert. He says, "You'll lose your lives among such savages as those on the islands." And James Calvert's reply was classic of what I'm trying to share with you today by my second point. He said that we lost our lives long before we came here. And so, my friend, if we're going to do mission work, sometimes it involves sacrifice. And I'm thankful that this church has a heart for mission. So we see the vision that it takes to do mission work. We see the venture, sometimes venturing out. And we see number three in closing today, the victory that can be found. You see, in verse number 14, after Paul goes and follows the call of God on his life, he meets a lady named Lydia, a seller of purple that which worshiped God. And the Bible said whose heart was open, and she attended to the things that was spoken, and she was saved and was baptized. And I think we're talking about a victory. We sing victory in Jesus. I want to tell you something. I've seen some victories in Jesus that I want to share with you. I think of the damsel possessed in verse number 16 and the Philippian jailer in verse number 30. That damsel that was tormented reminds me of a time where Terry and I went into a village in northwest Kenya. And we went hut to hut as we always do and sharing the gospel. And I came to a house where there was a man that had two wives. He was a Turkana man. And he said, "Missionary, I need you to talk to this woman." And it was his second wife. And he said, "She is a demonic woman. She's crazy." And so I'll never forget this exchange. And I witnessed to a lady named Susan. And she was wild-eyed and wild hair sticking up. And just literally a person you could look at and say, that lady must be crazy or possessed. And so as I took time to share the gospel with this man and his family, and particularly this one lady named Susan, and shared the love of Christ with her and the penalty for sin and the ability to be saved by the grace of God, and I listened to Susan pray a prayer of salvation, receiving Christ. And I want you to know that upon salvation, immediately her countenance started to change. You see, there's some victories in Christ. When we share the gospel, Susan got saved. Today, you'll find Susan in a village called Calico, in a little Baptist church called Landmark Baptist Church of Calico. She's there every Sunday with her entire family, my friend. She praises the Lord. She worships the Lord. And their lives have been changed and transformed. I'm just telling you, if we're involved in missions, my friend, and we do it God's way, there are some victories that'll be found along the way. We see Paul and Silas praising the Lord, and the Philippian jailer who was beating them was converted to Christ. "What must I do to be saved? Confess the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." I brought something for you to view today, and this is my last illustration. Thank you for your patience. I know we've gone over a little bit, but in Africa we go 3-4 hours, so this is short, amen? Are we short? Amen?
Anye kitabu, nyopata tutio ara iyo Yesu Kristo, nyokipa ara Daudi, wero Abraham. Wero Abraham, Isaac.
Wero Isaac, Jacob. This is a Pocock Bible, audio Bible. And Terry and I we raised funds for these from time to time. Y'all actually participated in our fundraising for these. These are so powerful. This is the entire New Testament in the Pocock language. They're solar powered. They're rain resistant. And so as we lead people to Christ, and like the missionary said, you don't just give out things to everybody, because people will just come for what they can get. But for true disciples, we gave them to these. And in the early years at a village called Chepsabay, we were given these out. And the ladies of the village were gathering together every day and sitting around in a little huddle listening to one of these audio Bibles. And there was a witch doctor in that village that hired some thugs to beat those ladies, to get them to renounce their faith in Christ. But fortunately, listen, when we go to a village, we always start with the chief and the village elders. And before those ladies got saved, the chief and the village elders came to Christ. And those men, the chief stood up in the middle of that village and said, he understood that there was a battle taking place against the witch doctor and Christianity. And the chief said, listen, we are now a Christian village. And the gospel will be spread and preached in this village. And today that village has sent out dozens and dozens of evangelists because one man took a stand for the cause of Christ. I guess what I'm trying to tell you in closing today, that if we'll be faithful to God, we serve an almighty God that does grant victory in Jesus. Amen. Let us stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your spirit that we felt here in this place. And God, I pray you'll move in the hearts of your people and walk among these pews and touch hearts. If there's some that need to be saved today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord, I pray today they might be born again by your Spirit. Bless your people today. I thank you that they're involved in missions and help them, Father, to continue to carry that torch and carry the gospel to the furthest parts of the world. Maybe there's some young men here today. You're speaking to their heart right now that need to surrender to the ministry. Or maybe there's some families here that need to come pray for a missionary. But God, we pray that you'd fill these altars with your people that would humble themselves and pray. Bless this invitation in Christ's name we pray. As the pianist plays today, you know what you need to do. If God's spoken to your heart today, why don't you come today? Step out of that place of comfort that you're at right now. And say, God, I'm coming. I want to do your will. I want to serve you. We've got people to turn loose of everything they have. But yet we can't even turn loose of the pew we're standing and come and kneel ourselves before God. Would you come today and do business with God? If you're here in need of salvation, there's church staff here that can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Would you pray for your missionaries? This is becoming a very powerful church. You want to know why? Because you're giving to missions. You're taking care of missionaries. You're getting the gospel out. Starting right here. Would you come today if God's spoken to your heart? You do business with God, and He'll do business with you. In the quietness of the moment. How about it? Have you experienced some victories in your life lately with Christ? What's holding you back? The early church had to turn loose. They gave everything to Christ. The Bible says they took all that they had and laid at the apostles' feet. We're not asking you to give all your finances today. But we're saying, would you give all of yourself today? Before they gave anything, they gave their self to the Lord. Would you come today? Just let God minister to your heart. Speak to your heart. Whatever He's done for you today, praise Him. Thank Him. Pray for a missionary.
Nothing could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living.
There are those still praying here at the altar, and I can't help but think that there's still God working on the hearts of those back in our pews here, and those. You don't have to come to the altar.
I've tasted
because God can hear you right where you are. But there's something special about this altar. Something special about the place where you kneel at the cross. The altar of God is represented also by, in the Old Testament, there was that veil that was separating the Holy of Holies from the most holy place.
And you are welcome.
When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He tore that veil and gave us all access directly to the Father.
Your glory
And this is
God
that place.
Is what our hearts longed for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Chuck, for that message. I'm going to ask you guys to be seated just for a second.